Good morning, church. As it's been said, I'm Darren Calhoun, and it is really a pleasure to be here with you this morning. I'm really thankful for Pastor Julian and for Lois Lively and those who are involved in just inviting me out and just making me feel welcome. Thank you so much for that. I'd like to start off with a poem. I don't typically preach every Sunday, but I've heard that people like to do that. Well, I wrote a poem, but it was in my freshman year of college, and I won't read the whole thing because, after all, in my freshman year of college, it probably isn't the nicest form of art. But I will read one memorable line from it. I'm black, I'm Christian, and I'm gay. Yeah, that caught the attention of a lot of folks around me. Some of them celebrated, and some had a slightly more low-key acknowledgement of my declaration. But others, there were others who told me loud and clear that God didn't want me to be gay. In my sophomore year of college, I found myself in a Bible study going and digging into the question of what God wanted for my life, specifically asking if God wanted me to be gay. This ongoing Bible study led me to a place where I was convinced that God wanted me to change my sexual orientation to heterosexual. Powered by the zeal to be pleasing to God and encouraged by the church leaders who thought they knew what God wanted for me, I would go on to spend the next 8 years of my life trying to be healed of my same-sex attraction. For much of this time, I did all the things that I was asked. I stopped calling myself gay. I pulled away from other gay friends. I also followed the guidance of my pastor to quit school, to cut off my friends and family, and to move into the basement of the church. This was all so God could heal me the way those good Christian folks around me expected God to. I gave everything I had to try to become normal, to try to be what people around me wanted. But I only found myself more and more isolated, full of despair, as the change just did not materialize. One particular day, my pastor came to talk to me. I'd been struggling with changing my sexual orientation and living in the church for close to 3 years at this point. He came to give me some pastoral advice. First, he asked if I were being spiritual enough. I told him I'd been fasting 48 hours through the week and I was reading chapters from the Bible daily, and how I'd been in the morning prayers and the nighttime prayers. And he seemed surprised, but he inquired further. Darren, are you really sold out for God? And I answered, yes. But he questioned further. Do you really want to be saved? And of course, my answer was yes. But he said, God might let you into heaven. But do you really want to go to heaven with AIDS? Yeah, his question shook me. But it was clear to me that something was very, very wrong. I couldn't articulate it at the time, but I knew enough scripture to reason that HIV nor any other illness goes with us into eternity. It also became clear that in that moment, he just wanted to scare me. I suspect he was afraid of me being gay. It scared him, and it didn't fit with his view of the world or his view of God. Of course, later I would realize that I was experiencing an informal version of gay conversion therapy, a practice that seeks to make people heterosexual and has now been proven to be so clearly abusive and harmful that some states, including Illinois, have outlawed the practice. But not long after this, a series of moments happened where I felt God's presence in a way that overpowered all the negative things that were said about me. And I realized who I am is no surprise to God. My sexuality, my identity, my attraction, exactly how God created me. And all I really needed to be healed of was my shame about it. My sin, my disease was not listening to God's still small voice within me that told me I was loved just as I am, and instead listening to the voices of people that told me otherwise. In today's scripture, which was Luke chapter 8, 26 through 39, we see Jesus healing a man who had many demons. If you're like me, you probably focused on how nice the man was after he got healed. But here are a few things that jumped out to me when I read that scripture again. The first thing was, sometimes we try to help, but really don't know what we're doing. When people saw that there was something wrong with the man, they did what they thought they should do. They bound him and guarded him. They were doing everything they could to control him, to make him less scary. And we get that, don't we? I mean, I know we do. I know I do. When there are things that we can't understand or we fear that might harm us or disrupt our lives, we try to restrain them. We try to control them, right? And when we see that happening a lot in our world, and we see it in lots of areas, including and around sex and sexuality, we try to restrain and conform things that we know, but that doesn't always work. As sex and sexuality have risen to the forefront of headlines in online conversations, some have tried to respond to it by locking it down and holding it tight. They want to keep it to what we've known from the past. We shout things like, marriage has always been between one man and one woman, in an attempt to control those scary queer folks who dare to seek to be married. A second thing I noticed is sometimes people are afraid of what healing looks like. Something was wrong and Jesus made it right, but that messed with and disrupted the world that the people of the town were living in. And they did not like it. So they asked Jesus to leave the town. And I'm suspecting that they didn't ask politely. But we know what that's like in our world today, too, don't we? There are ways that God is making things right in the world, but sometimes that scares us, and we'd rather see things just go back to the way they were. I hear this often from my LGBTQ friends who come out with their stories. Not stories of being made heterosexual, but rather stories of how they are becoming themselves, queer and fully beloved children of God. These are amazing stories, and if you'd like to read some of them, including mine, as a longer version, you can open your websites and open your browsers to go to unchangedmovement.com. And that's a free resource that has lots of these stories from LGBTQ Christians who are beloved by God. But sometimes these stories scare people. They shake up our assumptions and make us question things we've always been taught that are true about God and ourselves. It's uncomfortable, and sometimes it's downright terrifying. When PBS aired an episode of the children's show Arthur, where his teacher, Mr. Ratburn, gets married to another man, some folks reacted by moving to ban the episode. They would rather it go away than to see happy, healthy, queer people on television. And I get it. Deep down inside, most of us would like things to stay the same. It's comfortable. We're familiar with it. When things shift in our world, it can feel like something's being taken away from us. But reading scripture with a new understanding, updating our view of marriage, taking the extra effort to use new pronouns when someone transitions in their gender identity, that might feel weird. It makes us feel stupid when we use the wrong words sometimes, and we don't like feeling stupid. And like the pig herders, running a business that's open to the public might be affected by this new thing. We see people making legal cases about baking wedding cakes or providing health care every day. Some have lost their businesses because they don't want to be inclusive, and that's no small thing. But what if we push past the awkwardness and uncertainty to discover what God is doing and might have in store for us? So as a quick exercise, right where you are in your seats, I would like you to shake hands with two people, but do it using your left hand. Go ahead and do that right now. Use your left hand to shake hands with two people. Now, I saw a few smiles. I wonder if that felt weird for anyone. Did it feel awkward to use a different hand? Now, some of us, because of different mobility challenges and so forth, always use our left hand. But for many of us, the social custom that's been around all of our lives is to shake hands with your right hand. And when we do something different, it might be more inclusive, or it might be more accommodating, but it also might feel weird. So what do we discover from this? Real healing and real change starts close to home and just keeps on going. We're often okay with the idea of change happening somewhere else. Cleaning all the plastic out of the ocean, great, except if it means that I have to change how much plastic I use on a daily basis. Racial equity? Absolutely. As long as it doesn't mean that I have to have uncomfortable conversations with people at work or at school or, God forbid, in my family. Caring for the poor? Got it. As long as they are in some other country and I can give and send money as a missions project versus me changing my routine and making a little bit more space in my day so that I can talk to the person who's experiencing homelessness that I otherwise would probably walk right past on my way to my next appointment. The man that Jesus healed wanted to go, but Jesus asked him to stay. And when he asked him to stay, he invited him to declare God's goodness right where he was. And that guy, I'm sure he was smart enough to know that that would not be easy. When I began to heal from the shame that I had with the view of myself, where I saw myself as flawed and wrong and not how God created me, I had to get away from the church, that church, and I had to get away from that basement. And I had to get away from every proverbial closet that people wanted to lock me in. I had to keep going in order to keep healing. But I have to tell you, the more healing has happened in my life, the more I feel the call to go back to some of those same kinds of spaces where I was hurt and where I was abused, and to spread the good news of God's love for us all. But it's hard. And some days it's brought me to tears. And when it's really, really hard, I've got to focus on self-care and rest and remind myself why I'm even doing this work. In this case, I don't believe Jesus is calling me to run away. Jesus wants me to stay. And I think that may be one of the points that Jesus is trying to make that we often overlook in this story. We are called to be in the middle of it, in the middle of the messiness, not just safely far away, but in the middle where real life is. The abundant, face-to-face, transformative, awake, and fully alive life that Jesus came to give to us. So the question that I ask you this morning, what is the messy place that God is calling you to? I'd ask you to think about what might it look like to declare God's goodness in your family where you disagree politically? What does it look like to be a person who's healed and proclaiming God's love for all in the middle of an institution where votes against the affirmation of LGBTQ people are happening? How do we embody God's love and God's call to seek justice and to let the oppressed go free when you're a citizen of a country that is practicing systemic racism and oppressing the poor? It won't be comfortable, not always. And it will be disruptive. In Galatians 3 and 28, Paul says, there is no longer Jew nor Greek. There's no longer slave nor free. There's no longer male nor female. All of you are one in Christ Jesus. I am confident that these words turned upside down the world that Paul spoke them into. And here today, they still turn upside down our world. I think about that guy that Jesus healed and how it started something. It disrupted that entire community. And it created a ripple of change so that ultimately, it wasn't just one person healed. I think that it might be what God's wish for us is when God heals us. That it doesn't end. That it changes us. And that it just keeps going. And it just keeps growing. And little by little, healing changes everything. Amen.